welcome everyone to the Catlin AutoCast. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. I'm very choked up about this show. Coming up on this one, as we focus on the Toronto Blue Jays, we look back at last night's win over the Yankees, why it's good, but still needs improvement, plus some reinforcements coming in. We'll talk about all of that on the show today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Okay, let's begin with a big way to start the series against the Yankees. A 3-1 win over the Bronx Bombers last night at the Rogers Center. And this was a really, really all over the place type of a game. The good is A, they won. B, they let Heal come to them. And when he did, it was largely out of the zone. 7 walks, a wild pitch allows Alejandro Kirk to score. And so it was all over the place all game long. And the Blue Jays, for the most part, didn't really go chasing. The problem was, when it was in the zone, they didn't do enough to take advantage. And this has been a common problem for Toronto for the last couple of seasons. They had some opportunities to put this one away, and they didn't. And that's really, really frustrating, because they could have put this one away so early in those situations. With Springer up there, the bases loaded. One run comes in on the wild pitch, and then Springer's out, Vlad's out. Now, Vlad hit the hell out of that ball, and Springer, it was a base-running mistake by Varsho that didn't allow that run to come in, but base-running mistakes are becoming more and more prevalent with this team as well. Varsho doesn't go on a play where they are conceding the run, and so that's annoying. And then Bo Bichette gets picked off of first base, ending a first and third rally with one of your hottest hitters coming up to the plate. So while the result was great and things are trending in the right direction, there's still a long way to go for this Blue Jays team to be taken seriously at all because of mistakes like that. And they just keep happening. And it's so bloody frustrating. Because that, like, this team just can't afford to give runs away, can't afford to give outs away, because they are quite simply not that good. And that's where the frustration comes with this group, is when plays like that happen and like runs just taken off of the board, it gets very, very frustrating. I do think they maybe got a little lucky on things as well. Juan Soto hit one to the wall, and then there was another one, I think it was Volpe, put a charge onto the wall that would have, I think, significantly altered how this game went. But aside from that, Bassett looked really good. And it's now 3 starts in a row where you are seeing the Chris Bassett from last season. And overall, the pitching staff is starting to round into form. Barrios has been tremendous and just legitimately one of the best pitchers in baseball. We're seeing Kikuchi tonight. He has been great against the Yankees, so I would anticipate that happening again. And you have Bassett starting to round into form a little bit. 4 and 5 have been a bit of an issue. Gausman has struggled to start this season. There is no question about that. And Bowden Francis, ditto. So those are concerns for this Blue Jays team that they need to work through. And like, Gausman will come around for sure. Francis, I'm not so sure. It keeps not looking great for him. But overall, again, you're feeling better about things from a Toronto standpoint this week, coming off of what happened last week and now coming off of that game tonight, where you didn't play your best ball game and you still came away with a win. There are some positives to come away from this, though, and that is a couple of guys in the bottom half of the order are starting to round out a little bit. Biggio is hitting the hell out of the ball every time he's coming up to the plate. The problem is he and David Schneider kind of do the same stuff, so it's tough to get them in the lineup at the same time, but you feel like you kind of need to start doing that because of how well Biggio was on the ball, and David Schneider, the Blue Jays just win when he steps into the lineup. And so those are two guys who have really started to figure it out. And it does seem like Kirk is on it a little bit more. I don't want to say it's soft contact, but he is certainly not driving the ball the way he was in the spring. And he is certainly not driving the ball the way that he was when he was an all-star a couple of seasons ago. It is a lot of just base hits. He got his first extra base hit of the season in the game yesterday. And he's not exactly a just get on base and see what happens type of fella. The Jays need him to be driving the ball, driving runs in. If he's just going to be a slap hitting catcher, that's not what we signed up for with this guy. And that's not what made Gabriel Moreno expendable in one of the worst trades in the history of this team. So you need him to get going in a, I think, real legitimate way going forward. But like, there are a few things that you can take positively. And I know I jumped right to the negatives coming out of that game against the Yankees, but I do think the approach is better this week. And it should have been. It was against Seattle and Colorado, not Houston, Tampa Bay, New York, specifically the Colorado. Like, Seattle had three good pitchers out there, and the Jays did really well against two of three of them. But I'm happy that we are seeing it a little bit against the better teams here in the Yankees, but this is a couple of games now where the Jays have needed a little bit of help to get some runs across in terms of walks and wild pitches. But the approach does seem better at the plate with this team. And so that gives you a bit of confidence going into things that it's going to continue to round into form. One frustration I have is with Bo Bichette. I understand when things are going well, he goes to the beat of his own drum. But there were way too many non-competitive at-bats from him the other night. And like, okay, we got this guy on the ropes. Things are going. First pitch is kind of middle up and away, and not at all where he's looking to drive the ball. Swings it, grounds into a double play, inning over. Okay. When it's going well for Bo, and he's doing that, that ball goes into the gap in right center field, down for a base hit, two-run score, and the Blue Jays extend their lead. And so it's tough to say, hey, stop doing the stuff that you do when you're successful because it's not working right now. It will probably eventually round into form, but when it's off with him, it is so frustrating because nothing about his approach to the plate is what you would want from, like, anybody. And that gets really annoying with Bo when it's not going well at times. Also, I'm getting a little worried about Kiermaier's bat. He wasn't a dynamite 300 hitter or anything like that, but he was 265 down at the bottom of the order last year, and he's hitting nothing right now. Striking out on high fastball after they've just walked to the world. Just a lot of real soft contact from Kevin Kiermaier in these games, and that is starting to worry me a little bit when it comes to this Blue Jays offense, because they don't have an offense where you can just accept that your number nine hitter is just going to hit 210 and whatever. They kind of need everyone pulling the rope in the same direction right now. And I'm not feeling it with Kiermaier. So a bit of concern there from a Blue Jay standpoint. But overall with the offense, it's better. It was nice to see them put up five runs in the last couple of games against Colorado. It's just nice to see them do that against anybody. Again, it's against the team that has the highest ERA in Major League Baseball right now. But just to see them be able to do that against anyone was really helpful. And hopefully something that they can build some momentum off of. And now, a chance to beat the Yankees. And when you think about it, with Kikuchi going tonight, coming off of a win last night, if they win this series, it guarantees that they're going to be over 500 by the time the series is done. And to come out of this stretch where it was really hard, where it goes Rays, Astros, Yankees all on the road, then home against Seattle, who at the beginning of the season, that looked like a tougher matchup than it was, and then Colorado, and then the Yankees again. If you come out of that above 500, now you can start to really see where the schedule opens up a little bit more, and you can start to maybe put a few more wins together as you're trying to figure out what type of a team you are. And I don't think playing close to what this team's maximum capacity is. So again, I have been very frustrated with things with this team. I have been really annoyed at some things with this team. And yet here they are 9-8 through a really difficult part of the schedule to start the season, missing some key pieces. And now those pieces are coming back as Danny Jansen, Eric Swanson, and Jordan Romano all make their way back. Jansen is expected to start tonight against the Yankees, and Romano and Swanson should be back very, very soon. Garcia and Green, more specifically Garcia, have done a tremendous job at the back end there. But even Green, a couple of good ones last night. Garcia, playing with fire a little bit, three flyouts to end a ballgame against some of the best hitters in baseball, but win's a win. And to get through this stretch, tough opponents, bullpen absolutely scrambling, and one of your more reliable relievers just lost it for a little bit there in Tim Mayza, and one of your more consistent hitters when he is on, just out of the lineup. I would say with all the frustration and all of that around this team, you're feeling better about how things have gone for Toronto moving. You feel better about things with Toronto as it kind of goes on. So let's look at the schedule for the rest of the week. Last week, we thought they would go 3-3, given the pitching matchups against Seattle and then Colorado. Thought there was a chance they got swept by Seattle and then do the sweeping against Colorado. They end up going 4-2. So, you know, like that. They have the weekend here, or the early week schedule, sorry, here against the Yankees before they go back out on the road for 3 against San Diego. And then it's 4 against the 4 against the Royals before a weekend set with the Dodgers all next weekend. So I'm going to say this one here. I do think that they get one more out of the next two against the Yankees. And I think they can take 2 out of 3 from the San Diego Padres right now. So I'm going to say it's another 4-2 week for the Blue Jays. Couple things that we're looking for this week. How does Danny Jansen work his way back into the lineup? It sounded like they're going to go 50-50 split with these guys. I think Danny Jansen is a better catcher than that. I think he is a significantly better ball player than Alejandro Kirk, but we need this cat to stay healthy for longer term. So if that means that it's a 50-50 split, then a 50-50 split it be, because we need this guy healthy throughout the whole entirety of the season. And maybe getting Kirk a bit of a blow every now and then might actually help him out going forward, because I don't think he has really worked all that well as the everyday catcher for this team, which leaves some pretty giant question marks going forward, again, given a gigantic trade that they made a couple of years ago that sent one team to the World Series and one team winless in the wildcard round, and you know which ones I'm talking about. So I'm interested to see how Danny Jansen integrates back into the lineup, and do we get to see some of the big bullpen guys come back this week, and how does everything kind of shake out there? Because now you go from having 2 relievers that you trust to 4. Now the back end of that bullpen is looking much more solid than it was just a couple of days ago, and putting yourself in a better position, taking some of the pressure off of these guys. Meza has looked a little bit better. That fastball still sitting around 91 concerns me a touch. And I didn't love, obviously didn't love what that was against Seattle last week. It's been a rough start to the season for him. So hopefully he gets that velocity up a little bit. Not that he needs to throw faster, but it's just a sign of how things are going for him. That's the concern with him right now. And then other than that, like, let's just see if they can start adding on in these games and really start to put some away, because they've had some opportunities. It's now just trying to drive those runs in. All right, that's going to do it here for the Catlin Autocast this week. Bit of a quicker one this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Follow me on social media at Primetime Klein, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, twitch.tv/primetimepk, and you can email the show couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. On Twitch, we're doing a Blue Jay season right now. Not at this exact second, although I guess I don't know when you're listening, but at least once a week doing games on there. So make sure you follow at least, and if you subscribe, I would love it, but you don't have to. You should subscribe on here on this channel, and also wherever you are getting your podcasts. There is a regular flagship Couch Potato Diary show out as you are listening to or watching this. It is out right now talking about the NBA play-in, NHL playoffs, some UFC and some AEW talk in there as well. And for people who know me from Hockey Talk, there is going to be a Blasty Banter out a little bit later on today. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will talk to all of you later. I'm out.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.